This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Second hour of the program, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending, and it is very effective at this. I happen to be an experienced user of Dash from before we were raided by the federal government as the Crypto Six. I was out there every day, virtually, if not every other day, at the least, in Keene, in downtown Keene, spending Dash in the community at the businesses that accept it. I heard from you, Aria, that Dash was being accepted by multiple businesses, multiple vendors at the Porcupine Freedom Festival this year. Is that true?
Did I say that?
I thought you mentioned it during the show this week.
I mean, plenty of people are accepting cryptocurrency, yes, and mm-hmm. Dash would certainly be among some of the ones that are accepted.
I definitely saw it at least, there was at least one vendor I saw that was taking Dash, but I didn't get a chance to get around.
There were a few that, you know, had a cryptocurrency QR codes out there, and at least one of them had a Dash QR code. Mm-hmm.
I know Jay Noon accepts Dash, so I guess that would be at least two that I can personally think of.
Anyone there who took cryptocurrency would have been willing, unless they were a Bitcoin maximalist, would have been willing to accept Dash as well.
Right? Yeah, that's what I would expect. I mean, it used to be all over the place at Porkfest. I'm only there for a couple of days, so I don't have the chance to like go around.
It's goldback country now, assess. Almost entirely. And I mean, maybe I'm only seeing what I'm involved in because mm-hmm. I can't use cryptocurrency.
So you're not looking for it.
So I'm only using goldbacks. But from what I'm seeing as well, it's we're back to people printing off their QR codes and putting them up there for people to do that. Like AnyPay has completely vanished from the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Well, and that's unfortunate because Dash actually fixed AnyPay recently. So AnyPay for a long time was the best way of accepting cryptocurrency. At the point of sale.
I would say it still is.
I think you're right about that. But for over a year, they had a critical bug that was essentially breaking the experience for most of the users and the vendors. And that's why it kind of dropped off the radar. If it's not working, you know, people aren't going to use it. And so the good thing that happened within the last year was the folks at AnyPay open sourced their software. Because they basically said, you know, we got other things going on. We just don't have the time to focus on our point of sale. I think they were focusing on, like, online acceptance instead of point of sale acceptance. They were seeing more action in their online, like, WordPress plugin, if I recall correctly. So they open-sourced the server code. They open-sourced the code for the actual point of sale tablets and things like that. And Dash said, you know what? AnyPay was great. AnyPay launched with Dash back in 2017 when AnyPay got started. This was back when it was Bitcoin only. That was the only thing you could pay with anywhere with any of these online point-of-sale systems. And AnyPay launched when Bitcoin was going crazy with their fees for the very first time in 2017.
Was that part of the issue that like BitPay or whoever it was extremely slow to implement Bitcoin Cash, and that was what caused the people at AnyPay to be like, no, we have to have another solution?
At the time when AnyPay came out, Bitcoin Cash didn't even exist.
Okay.
It was just about to come out. Bitcoin Cash was about to come out, and it did take months and months and months before BitPay did implement it. So for a long time, it was Dash and Bitcoin through AnyPay, and that was it. And Dash was to the rescue. It was so important because it allowed businesses that were accepting Bitcoin that were no longer seeing any Bitcoin sales because of the Bitcoin fees that were just going crazy. We're talking $5 fees or more in some cases. There was a time when it was like $10 or $15 per Bitcoin transaction just to send some Bitcoin. Meanwhile, Dash is like less than a cent to send your Dash transaction. So AnyPay was sort of just languishing in the last year or so. And Dash, of course, they've got this decentralized autonomous organization, which has been the world's oldest decentralized autonomous organization. And they said the Dash Incubator, which is funded by that DAO, Dash Incubator said, you know what? We can fix this. And so they took some of the Dash money, the Treasury money that the Dow administers, and they hired a programmer who was like in Eastern Europe or something. I saw an interview with him, and he just went in and bing, bang, boom, fixed the code. And they released the new version of AnyPay.
Is it still open source?
It's still open source. That's how they fixed the code.
Yeah. Well, that maybe they closed it once. Maybe they fixed it and closed it. You know, that's why
really
I asked.
Bad.
Well, yeah, but I mean, imagine that, right?
I don't think Dash would have agreed to fix it if they were going to close the code after that.
Well, probably not. But just imagine that, right? Like, it didn't work, so AnyPay open sourced their code, mm-hmm. and now the problem's fixed. It's almost as though open sourcing software helps to solve problems.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that that's the direction. Because that was always my one critique of AnyPay, was that it was a closed source project. And so now it's open source, and Dash fixed the problem, so AnyPay is back. But the problem is, Porkfest doesn't know, right? Because it's a relatively new development. It just happened. And so somebody's going to have to go around and let people know the
good
news.
No one there like promoting AnyPay any longer, right?
I know.
So, I mean, maybe 2 years when I'm back again, because looks extremely unlikely that I'll be there next year.
Next year.
Maybe in 2 years I can, you know, go around pimping AnyPay to people.
Yeah, that'd be cool. But anyway, thanks to the Decentralized Autonomous Organization for fixing AnyPay, which is awesome. And thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. It's one of the oldest cryptos. It's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get. It's easy to use Dash. Go to Dash.org and learn more there. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts here. We have TJ the Spy on our SIP line, which you can learn about over at sip.freetalklive.com, S-I-P, super important person, .freetalklive.com. Go ahead, TJ.
Hey, greetings, Aria, greetings, Ian. I just wanted to call and wish you the best of luck. Aria, I know your reporting date gets closer by the week.
It's by the hour at this point.
No, it's by the hour.
Yeah, it's going to be Tuesday.
Okay, well, you know, I think you're a delight to be with, so I hope your fellow prisoners will think the same thing, and just remember, you'll be back sooner before you know it.
No, thanks, TJ.
I think it will be sooner rather than later, but it all depends on the bureaucracy and, you know,
the
which
powers
bureaucrats
be. Well,
make decisions.
Well, you know,
on
I got
things.
My I've auditioned for an open mic night for a comedy cellar.
Really?
And really, a two-minute stand-up set, because, you know, I got my comedy career start on Free Talk Live, so, I mean, it's kind of a sad thing if you'll be going to the clink, Ian, you know, that I won't be able to call in on a regular basis unless you have some alternative. Are you just going to wind down LRN and...
Well, the Free Talk Live will continue, so you will still be able to call Free Talk Live.
Okay, wonderful.
But
well,
that presumes
that
I'll be sentenced, and we haven't gotten to that point yet, so I'm not going to jump to that conclusion.
All righty.
Was there anything else you wanted to share?
There was nothing else I just wanted to share. I just wanted to wish you the best of luck, Aria, and hope you do well.
Okay, well, Aria does have the address information up on her website right now. I believe that is ariadimezzo.com.
That's correct.
Is that right? Top story, easy to find.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to temporarily unpublish everything else from the site anyway, because there's no point in having any of the other stuff there right now anyway. So it is the top story though. So if you go to
people
Aria
might want to read your essays while you're
maybe
in jail.
But if you go to ariadimezzo.com, it'll be right there at the top.
So prisoner number, which you'll need to use to do commissary donations, right?
Yes.
And that won't work until you're actually booked into the place. So don't go today, don't go tomorrow, but
well,
sometimes
in theory it would work, but the Bureau of Prisons makes it clear, you know, don't send money to someone who's not actually in our custody.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
So,
I wouldn't experiment with that.
I would imagine it would just get lost to the Bureau of Prisons.
If it's anything like, and there's not necessarily any guarantee it'll be anything at all like the state system, it's probably going to be incredibly different, but at least here in the state system, you don't even get to put your first order into commissary for the first week. So it's like, you're not going to...
Really?
Yeah, and maybe it will be different. You know, maybe you'll walk right in and they'll say, oh, you got $100? Okay, here you go.
Well, by amazing coincidence, I have a friend who did time in this exact facility.
Okay.
Like, I think last year as well. So I can message him
and
ask him.
Yeah. TJ, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate the kind words.
All right, thank you very much.
Yep, check out ariadimezzo.com for mailing address information. Let's talk to Ricky in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Ricky. And we'll keep you up to date, by the way. And I presume you'll call us, Aria, if you have access to a phone during show hours and you're willing to talk about the experience.
Absolutely.
If you're not able to access a phone during show hours, then you can call outside of show hours and we'll record an interview with you. So you always have that access here.
Fantastic.
You need to get the word out. Go ahead, Ricky.
Yeah, thank you there, Brother Ian, Sister Aria. I'm glad I had the opportunity to speak to you. I've grown to love you, no doubt.
Go ahead. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, yeah, I'll be also joining the Change in the Name Club with TJ and yourself there, mm-hmm. Brother, very shortly. But here's what's on my mind tonight. A couple observations and a call out to everybody. Now, if I'm wrong in any of these observations, feel free to correct me along the ways, all right?
Okay.
Okay, we'll start out with this one. We're going to talk about goldbacks. Now, I think they're really cool. Now, in fact,
these are 1/1000th of an ounce of gold. In between, it's very, very flat. It's this vacuum depositing process. It's very, you know, technological, very newfangled, and it's depositing this gold, this thin layer of gold between layers of acrylic plastic. That's what a goldback is. They're gorgeous. They have amazing artwork on
them. And I like it so much, in fact, when I officially announced my candidacy in early 25. I'm going to use New Hampshire one down here as a promotion. I'll help them out, and the connection to the show sounds good. But realistically,
okay.
The only problem with this idea is one problem. There's not enough gold to go around for everybody. Now, the things I'm going to be saying...
That is not a problem at all, actually. There's plenty of gold in the world, and scarcity is one of the reasons why gold is worth something. So that's not a problem.
Well, do you think it would be viable on a national scale? Could they produce enough to make it viable on a national scale?
To make the gold bag viable on a national scale? I'm trying to understand what in the world you could possibly mean when you say there's not enough gold to go around.
Could they make enough gold backs where you could use it as a currency for everybody, for everything? There's 220 million people in the country.
There's 330 million people, but
so technically,
okay,
you would only need 330 million gold backs.
Well, that would only be one per.
Sure, but
I wouldn't need that technically. Anyway, but close to it. Could they? I don't want to beat a dead horse.
Let me just jump in on this question here, Ricky. There are already millions and millions of dollars worth of gold backs in existence today, and there's only four states that have been published. I think South Dakota's coming next, later this year. These are relatively small population states. That's what they're focusing on to kind of get the ball rolling with here. But the reality is 330 million people are never going to be using gold backs because not everybody values gold. And even if we do come into a world in which gold is much more highly valued by the average person, we will likely see a competing marketplace and different options that will be out there, including silver. And, you know, other things like that. But are they able to create a lot of gold backs? Yeah, they are. They actually upgraded their facilities.
Okay, so they got that, Ian. So I am going to try to use them in 25 as a promotion. Now,
you'll be fine in 25.
Cryptocurrency. Now, that's an interesting one because I've followed it throughout the years. And correct me if I'm wrong, but when you look at the various different cryptocurrencies, see, a lot of these things I'm looking at as placeholders, and I'll tell you why ultimately. Because they all seem to have associated unfortunate problems that come along with it. Am I correct in that?
No, they're all different, so it's hard to say.
Well, I mean, different problems with different currencies, but there's still issues.
Like what?
He has no
idea. Things that keep it from, you know, like whether you have Bitcoin, probably the best one it sounds like is what is it called?
That didn't answer the question.
No, what kind of issues are you talking about these cryptocurrencies having?
Problems that keep it from being something viable that the masses can use.
Such as? Can you give me an example of one of these problems?
Well, like in the case of Bitcoin, you have a small amount of people holding all the Bitcoin. But then you have, you know, in the case of some other things, you have...
No, Ricky, there's plenty of Bitcoin to go around. Right.
These are divisible down to 8 decimal points.
Yeah, and there's 3 million Bitcoin that has yet to be mined at this point. And as Ian points out, it's divisible down to 8 decimal points. And it's already at a point where having 0.27 Bitcoin means if you're in the upper 1% of Bitcoin holders.
Okay, I'm going to give my final observation.
Hold on, Ricky.
But you can have a single Satoshi.
There is a problem that you kind of, without really realizing it, did touch on, I think, with regards to Bitcoin, and we've talked about it a lot in regards to comparing it to some of the other currencies like Dash or Bitcoin Cash, and that is that Bitcoin has a network problem. There's a problem that has essentially prevented Bitcoin from scaling to demand. So you are correct, Ricky, at least when it comes to Bitcoin.
Which I remember years ago with the issues with the miners. I remember that.
No, it's not a minor issue per se. There's plenty of people mining Bitcoin.
Fights back and forth over different types of, like, saying we got to do it this way, we got to do it that way.
Yes, that was what happened. Was there was a schism, and this was actually in 2017. There was a schism in Bitcoin when the programmers could not agree on how to solve the problem of the network growing. It was growing pains, essentially. There was too many people wanting to transact on the Bitcoin network, and so the prices of the fees kept on going up. We referred to it earlier when we were talking about Dash, where the Bitcoin fees were $5, $10, $15 just to send a Bitcoin transaction when they should be like a cent or less. And so that was what happened. That was what essentially broke Bitcoin, because the programmers who ended up sort of in charge refused to scale the network to the appropriate size, which would have required them to simply change one factor. They would have simply had to change one variable, which was what they call the block size, from 1 megabyte, which is just this arbitrary number that Satoshi put on years ago. And they could have just eliminated the block size, or they could have doubled it or tripled it or quadrupled it or whatever, and they just decided they didn't want to do that because they didn't want Bitcoin to be useful anymore. They wanted it to be a quote-unquote digital gold that you would just hold on to and hope the number go up. So
by having that cap on there, you know, that they cap the number of transactions that can occur.
Per every 10 minutes or whatever.
And because of that, you have end users competing with one another by increasing fees and paying higher fees to try to get theirs into the blockchain
first.
And
it just keeps ramping up and up and up as the demand keeps increasing to the point where people are like, screw this, then they start looking for other options.
And if they did actually remove the block size definition, the exact opposite would be true.
Yeah.
Now, if I may, I have one more observation. And
that was why there was a schism, though, Ricky, and it schismed into two different competing coins, Bitcoin BTC and Bitcoin Cash BCH, which, by the way, shot up recently. I don't know if you heard about this, but the Bitcoin Cash, I don't know why,
but
Bitcoin Cash is up like 100% in the last week.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I have no idea what happened or what people are saying is the reason for this, but it's not like some general altcoin rise. It's like Bitcoin Cash itself has been shooting up. Now, whether it'll continue, I don't know. There's no way to predict these things. Your final point tonight, Ricky, go ahead.
Well, did you want me to make the observation or just the final point?
I don't know. Whatever you think's the most important thing.
Well, if I can make the last observation, it's a quick one, then my quick call out to everybody if I could.
Go ahead.
All right. The final observation is obviously fiat currency. Thank you, Lincoln, for giving us fiat. And the only good thing about CBDC.
That's the central bank digital currency.
Right. The only thing good about it is that it's going to eliminate the cost of physical money. But, of course, that's going to either get squandered away or.
Why is that a good thing?
Well, it's a good thing, but it'll never be utilized.
And why is it a good thing? The cost of physical money is borne only by its printer, and it's not very high.
No, and it's already not.
It'll be given to the wealthy.
And it's already not applicable to 97% of the currency anyway.
Right, so that's pointless. But here's my call.
So why did you bring it up?
Well, just for, completeness. So here's the call out.
Okay.
What I'm looking at here is this is not especially my area, but I do have a higher intellect, and this is to all the listeners and callers too. I'm thinking of an outside the box answer, because we're looking at quote currency, standard currency, all these things. Maybe that's not our answer. Maybe our answer lies in something else that's kind of a little bit more outside the box.
What do you mean?
As opposed to standard currency.
You're talking about for currency? You're talking about something else that hasn't been invented yet?
Well, something else that's not, quote, currency. I'm not talking the barter system or nothing like that, but an alternative that would work with the way we do things.
And that would solve the same problems that currency solves without being currency? Is that what you're saying?
That's the idea. See, that's where my head's kind of at. And that's a call out to all the listeners to think maybe in that way. We can think of an outside of the box because we need this thing now.
But
we can't wait years from now.
But wouldn't solving the same problems that currency solves make it
a currency? Yeah,
but it's not actually, but hopefully it won't have this train of thought. It won't have the associated issues of a currency. You know, that's what I'm thinking. You know,
I thank you for the call tonight, Ricky. I think we're about done with that one. The number 603-283-6160. We need a currency that's not a currency that solves all the problems. What?
I don't know, man.
Does not compute.
It got really there. He's got some idea in his head that sounds like it could be really fascinating, but he hasn't figured out how to convey that idea yet. So Ricky, spend some time doing that, because currency that's not a currency but does what currency does but without the bad things about currency tells us nothing. And we're never going to figure out what it is in your head as a result of hearing that.
Yeah, and just trying to figure that out on the air is probably not a good idea. You got to figure that out like on pencil and paper and try to spill these ideas out.
And but it sounds like there could be something to it.
I think you're giving it a lot of credit. That is very kind of you, Aria.
I'm trying to be nice.
Yes, you're being very, very nice in this case. To me, it's like this does not compute. This makes absolutely no sense. If it's a currency, it's supposed to solve the problems of currency. It's a better form of currency. Then great, it's a currency, and that's maybe there's something that we haven't seen yet. I mean, certainly that was true with Bitcoin, right? Like Bitcoin in 2009 hit the scene, and it did things, it solved problems that had never been solved before. It solved the Byzantine generals problem. I don't know how to explain it.
Byzantine fault tolerance, and I couldn't explain it off the top of my head either. But
it solved trust issues. I think there's a better way to explain it. It solved trust issues with centralized currencies, which in that, if the bank, for instance, where you have your money fails, then you don't get your money back unless you happen to get lucky and the federal government somehow swoops into your rescue. But of course, that's just coming from other people. It's coming from other banks or whatever. It's not like, magic or anything like that. And so if your money's gone from the central banking or the banking system, then you're screwed. You have to trust these people. That's the problem. One of the big problems with the money system prior to Bitcoin was trust.
And I wanted to get into a little bit of that, because Ricky kept talking about the problems of currency as though there's some inherent problem to currency as an idea or to all currencies. But then identify what that problem is. Right?
There isn't. There are different weaknesses with different currencies, right? So, like, a big weakness, which was identified by one of your interviewees last night on the show from Porkfest, the guy from the taco stand, was that he doesn't want to take cryptocurrencies because they are unstable as far as their value is concerned. And if he's got to go and buy food from his vendors, for instance, that sell him the wholesale product, and they don't want to take cryptos for the same reason, then he's got to change them into cash. And so why bother? In that case. So I get that. That's why he's taking gold backs instead. So that's a big challenge that crypto has that they have not been able to solve at this point. But gold backs have their own problems. More coming up.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamil that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Senator Ben Cardin says Russian President Vladimir Putin is losing credibility with his own people. Speaking on Fox News Sunday, the Maryland Democrat said this weekend's rebellion by the Wagner military group shows that Putin's reasons for invading Ukraine are being challenged in Russia. Senator Amy Klobuchar says the fallout from Roe v. Wade being overturned is exactly as she predicted a year ago. Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, the Minnesota Democrat said that the U.S. now has a patchwork of abortion laws that varies from state to state. Former President Trump says the federal government has a vital role in regulating abortion, but in a speech to a conservative audience Saturday night, Trump declined to be specific about what role that should be. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is number one at the box office with $19 million this weekend in theaters across the U.S. and Canada. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160.
And Aria.
And you can join us online. Head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features there. Also, Free Talk Live brought to you by Mark Warden. I'll tell you a little bit more about him later on. The number is 603-283-6160.
He, of course, was at the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Yep, I got a hug from Mark while I was there. In fact, we need to come back to the Porcupine Freedom Festival. I think you had some lessons from Porkfest, or some observations or something that you wanted to share. So I definitely.
And they're not unique to Porkfest. There's things I learned, perhaps were reinforced at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, but they're not only useful in the context of the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
All right, I want to get into that. I don't even know what they are. You haven't told me off the air. So we're going to find that out coming up here, and then we'll get to, if we have time, the Bruce Fenton post, where he weighs in on whether or not these companies that are doing cryptocurrency development can even possibly register. Just come on in and register with the SEC, which is what the SEC has been saying as they've been bringing lawsuits left and right against various crypto organizations. We'll check in with what Bruce has to say on that, because it's pretty interesting. But first, we go to the phones here and talk to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Thanks for being back to taking... making a call.
What did you do without us, Sarah? Were you okay?
Well, you know, I wound up calling the local stations were taking my calls.
Whoa. That's amazing. Sarah, you should continue calling your local stations about your local issues. But I'm not being sarcastic. Continue doing that.
No, but...
they actually took your calls. They put you on the air.
Well, yeah, because I haven't called them for like a year.
See, absence makes the heart grow fonder, Sarah.
Or they forgot.
Well, they must have missed
it. The new call screener. They didn't know her. Huh?
Well, you know what? They even have a special sound effect that after my spiel, they have that call crashing.
Really?
That's my sound effect.
A car crash?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, after my comments. Yeah, like because I would.
Wow.
So is this like a joke show that you called into?
Because
when you say this, I think about like Drake and Zeke, who was this afternoon show on this rock station that I listened to when I was younger, and they made a lot of jokes. It was very much like a Howard Stern light sort of thing. They were joking around. They were goofing off, and they were...
Is it like that one?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there was a Joker Rodeo. I got on the Joker Rodeo, and my joke was, "Hey, what makes the New Mexico children refuse to go to school?
I didn't hear that. Start over. What's the joke?
Okay, the joke is, how come New Mexico children refuse to go to school? They all drop out of school
because they got ran over on the way there.
They're afraid of getting killed by a car on the way to school, so they don't go.
Close. This is your joke, Sarah.
Sarah, you inspired me to get out the sound effects. I almost never think about playing sound effects on the show, but I do have them.
Oh, that car crash! I do have the car crash now. No,
you already got your car crash.
Was better for,
yeah.
Okay. For that. That's your joke, Sarah. Did you? You
that
came
was
up
a
with
terrible
that.
Joke.
That's your joke. I got a joke for you, sir. I got a better joke for you. What's yellow and can't swim?
I don't know.
A school bus full of kids.
Yeah, I get off work. I just wanted to comment about
we need a tumbleweed sound effect for the awkwardness after I said that. No,
I don't
one
know
responded.
If I have that one.
It's a dark joke. Sure, it's not for everyone. It's like food in communist societies. It's... Not everyone gets it.
Yeah, I don't know what's so funny about it. What's children driving a bus stop? Buses like. Really
if you can't
funny.
Appreciate dark humor, then you will not find it funny, Sarah. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Thank you.
But I laugh at inappropriate things.
Sure,
like I'll be in a movie theater, something will happen on the screen that is not intended to be funny, and I will laugh at it. I'm the only person who thought that was funny.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well. I just
seen any good movies lately, Sarah?
I do not watch any movies. I don't want to fill my brain full of garbage, you know?
Yeah, communism feels that. Communism has that taken
She's maxed
care of,
out,
right?
Yeah.
So what do you do in your, what do you do for fun, Sarah?
She calls radio stations.
Other than that,
I want to tell you something.
She calls politicians.
When we get off the phone here tonight, what are you going to do, Sarah?
Well, look, there
That's
was a three, okay, there was a one-way street that we had downtown, and now they're going to make it two ways.
I don't care about your
stupid.
Why don't you answer the question, Sarah? I mean, she asked you a simple question.
What was the question?
What are you going to do tonight when we get off the phone?
Do my prayers and lay down and...
What are you going to do when you wake up
tomorrow? Hold on. It's 6:30. It isn't even dark yet in New Mexico.
But we don't have any coolers other than a fan here.
I mean, you're not 80 years old. You're in your 50s, right? Elderly people are known for going to bed early.
Yeah, but they wake up at 4 in the morning.
Right. She's not 80 years old or 70 years old, so, I mean, you shouldn't be going to bed at 6:30.
No, but I'm just going to meditate and maybe look through the Book of Mormons. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's right. She's going Mormon.
Okay, so you're going to read.
Okay, that's a good thing. That is a good thing. All right, Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate
Meditation's good. Reading is good.
Indeed.
All good things.
You'll be doing some of that soon, I think, too.
Yeah, I did some meditating recently.
Nice.
It's been a while since I meditated, but I had to, right?
Yep, absolutely. The number here is 603-283-6160. Okay, so you just got back from the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Literally, you rolled into town. I even grabbed dinner for you because you didn't have enough time to do that. So, and you came here. You haven't had a chance to do anything else. You've got some things you've been thinking about, some observations about the libertarians, or what was it you wanted to share?
Yes, well, the Porcupine Freedom Festival is always fascinating, right? It's like this temporary society built around the non-aggression principle, where we hope, at least. In theory, yeah. And usually it is that. There's almost never any theft or vandalism or any of that. But that stuff was That stuff was out of control this year. I learned later that it wasn't just the Liberty people who were also hit.
They were vandalized on the, what, final? Was it?
On the penultimate
night.
It was Friday night that they were vandalized. Yes. But they weren't the only ones. Several other people. There was a different, there were two money jars that were stolen.
Oh, God.
Sean of Chuck Wagon Soda, I'm told he had his stuff vandalized. So people just dumping out everything that he had.
Oh, man.
And it was pretty consistent around the Porcupine Freedom Festival that people were being vandalized and robbed, and that didn't happen.
Well, robberies, I think, happen in person.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Mikey has stuff stolen last year, right? But the scale of it has certainly increased, right? Sure, someone spray painted Trump graffiti on the ground a few years ago, but the scale of it noticeably shifted. Everything got escalated this year, and
there weren't more people this year, right?
There were not more people, but there was. And look, I don't want to be too simplistic about this, right? Because it's too simplistic to say, well, this is what happens when you have when you invite statists to your festival.
Which they did.
They did.
By bringing these politicians in, like Vivek Ramaswamy and RFK Jr. and some others.
There were known statists there, and one of the arguments that were put forward by the organizers after this as justification for this was, yes, but we had RFK supporters come in and tell us that they never even knew about this festival or the ideas of liberty or whatever until they came here to watch RFK speak, and all of that's well and good, but you're also confessing that you brought in a bunch of non-libertarians to the Libertarian Festival, and at the same time, not only was someone viciously attacked with a weapon, but there was widespread vandalism and widespread theft. And I say widespread because for a Libertarian Festival, that is widespread. I don't want to knock the event. It was beautiful. It was wonderful.
Overall,
a lot of positive things happened. But we cannot ignore the increase in the thefts and just the rude and rule-breaking behavior in general was noticeably up.
The one attack aside, which I heard that there was a guy who was like losing connection with reality, and he was the one that allegedly did the attack.
That's the allegation. I had an altercation with this person prior to that. He came to the Free Talk Live site at one point, and the girl who was with him came up to me, and she started petting my dog, and she said, you know, if this person asks, don't let him on the air. And I said, okay, well, I don't put random people on the air anyway. So, and then he came over, and he started, like, looking over my shoulder, unnecessarily close to me as I was editing audio files and all of that. And I had to go do something after that segment anyway. So, I locked my computer and started walking away. And I just happened to turn around, and he's sitting in my seat trying to unlock my computer.
Whoa.
So, I was like, hey, man, no, you can't. You need to leave.
He was this person was crazy for a while, basically.
And he argued, no, it's fine. I can do this. No, that's my computer.
Oh, my God.
You're on my side. And I'm asking you to leave. He's like, well, it says free talk right there. That doesn't mean you can use my computer without permission. So I need you to leave.
Wow.
And at that point, Alu tapped me on the shoulder and said, all right, there's something wrong with this guy. We've been trying to wrangle him down to the park rangers for a few minutes. And I was like, all right, well, I'll leave it in your hands.
I wonder
then
what his story was. Was this one of the people who was there for these politicians?
I don't know. No one seems to know who this guy was. Or what he was doing. He claims that he was dosed against his will. That's
really
what he told the girl. But I don't know if
I believe that incident, or not. The computer incident, was it the same day he attacked the person?
It was about 12 hours before he attacked the person, yes.
Okay, interesting.
About 12 hours after that, and I didn't even know what had happened at that point, because it was like 1 o'clock in the morning that he attacked someone. I didn't find out about it until the next day. And as soon as I heard that someone was attacked outside of the Wormtown tent,
which is right next door.
Yeah, that's right by us there, Free Talk Live. I knew it was this guy. And sure enough, it turned out to be exactly him.
Wow.
He had some sort of quartz crystal, and he hit someone, as I understand it, in the head with the light. Wow, I'm surprised. The guy who was attacked is okay.
Mm-hmm.
When I asked this, when I said, well, is he okay? The guy was like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, he was arrested. No, I'm not asking about the guy who did the violence.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I'm asking about the victim. So the victim is okay, as I understand. I don't know who the victim was. But
worked at Wormtown, I think.
Did he?
What I heard.
Okay.
I heard he was one of the Wormtown guys.
I never heard anything about the victim other than that he was okay. But the guy, the pork rangers, asked me, they didn't ask me, but they did what you had to do. I said that because Mo came up to me later and was like, let me get your opinion on how this was handled and what could have been done differently. So he explained how it all happened and how this woman heroically tackled this guy.
Okay.
And the crazy guy who was attacking people. And by that point, some other people showed up and they helped detain him. The pork ranger showed up with zip tie handcuffs and arrested the guy, which makes me ask, why do the pork rangers have handcuffs?
For this reason.
And I understand they're zip tie handcuffs, and anyone can have handcuffs, right? But I don't know. I don't know how to feel about the pork rangers having handcuffs, right?
If it kept this guy from attacking other people, I think it's fine.
And it did.
That
was essentially what I argue is, like, you guys did everything that you could do in a libertarian society.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do something about that. So I guess, my first thought on this is, even if this guy was dosed, let's accept that. Let's take his claim that he was dosed with something. If you are a libertarian to begin with, before you've been dosed with something, getting dosed on whatever it might be is probably not going to turn you into a non-libertarian. You're still going to likely be, the mindset of this is not my property, that kind of thing, unless you're completely out of your mind. I mean, that is still a possibility, I suppose, with this individual. So it's why it'd be interesting to know more of his history and sort of the background and who he actually is.
Well, the time frame involved kind of confirms that he could not have been dosed, or if he was dosing himself, and he was doing so repeatedly.
Over a day-long thing.
Because I've done LSD, I've done shrooms, I've done all sorts of psychedelics, and none of them last more than 12 hours. So,
Certainly not.
So the gap there, he would have sobered up.
Yeah, that's a great point. And my thought is, if he wasn't a libertarian, if he was one of these people who showed up to see these politicians or something like that, and, you know, he doesn't believe in property rights, or he's just such a dimwit that he thinks that Free Talk Live just means he gets to hop in and use somebody else's laptop without asking for permission. We're not dealing with somebody who understands property rights. We're not dealing with somebody who understands liberty here. And so, of course, if that person is then dosed, then you can absolutely expect them to go and do things that most libertarians wouldn't do. So it would be interesting to know more about who he was, how he ended up at the festival. It doesn't sound like you know the answers to those particular questions.
No one that I talked to seemed to even know what his name was.
But he was there with a girl, you said.
Well, he wasn't there with a girl.
Okay.
He attached himself to this girl.
And she was warning people about him.
Well, she was nice to him at first, and he was relatively normal for the first two days, she said. And he seemed like he didn't have a lot of friends, so she let him hang out with her.
Okay.
Apparently, he was trying to sleep with her, and that's why he ended up into the fight with the whoever it was, because that other person looked at her the wrong way or something.
Oh, I see.
And nothing ever happened in that capacity, but that's what she said, is that he wanted to sleep with her. And one reason or another, he became crazy. But she only hung out with him those 2 days, and she did not know him outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it became very clear by, like, the end of the second day that he was acting crazy and doing weird stuff, like trying to use the Free Talk Live laptop. Or maybe that was the day three of her knowing him. I don't know the timeline there. But she did not know the guy previously to this, and she distanced herself from him as much as she could while making sure that he was taken care of. Because I guess at that point she felt responsible. She had been hanging out with this person for a few days, and she had seen this person go from relatively normal to now he's violating people's private property. He's behaving unpredictably and irrationally. And it's just,
when did this happen with the attack? Was it Thursday?
Let's see. That's a really... I don't recall. I wish I did. And I could probably find out that information during a break.
Because I feel like, at least having not been there and only hearing of things, you know, Bonnie and I went 3 days over a week. And I feel like I heard about this guy... Well, anyway, I'm just wondering, is it possible he was the vandal as well?
No.
Okay.
Because the vandalism certainly happened
was
again
afterwards.
Friday night.
Was afterwards. Okay.
And that would have been after the attacks happened.
It's also, isn't it possible that the vandals was just like a couple of kids?
That's who hit
multiple locations.
That's my hypothesis exactly. Mm-hmm. Because as I was getting tacos last night, there were these two 12, 13-year-old boys. I don't know how old they were. Mm-hmm. And they were very clearly drunk. Which is fine. It's not my, look, mm-hmm. Your parents gave you alcohol. I don't care. And they were behaving as you would expect teenage boys who were trying to be cool, trying to be mm-hmm. ultra cool, right? They were trying to impress this vendor with how cool they were. Let me get you a beer, buddy. I'm like, dude, you're 12. Relax. Right? And he's a grown man working. If he wants a beer, he will have a beer, right? So they were doing that. They were very much acting like drunken teenagers.
And
again,
this was at nighttime?
Totally fine.
Evening?
Yes.
Okay.
But this was about 9 o'clock at night. And I'm not terribly surprised that there was vandalism. That would be the
night.
Sort of person. I don't know. It wasn't that night. I don't think.
Okay.
But there were drunk teenagers running around,
yep.
and this is the behavior that
teenage
I would expect
boys.
Of drunk teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily because they don't agree with a nap or because they're hateful or anything like that. They're just young and stupid.
What are the odds that the vandals weren't even attendees of the festival and were townies?
Some of them weren't. I happen to know something directly from one of the Rogers employees that I can share that mm-hmm. no one else out there knows about. Except the people who work at Rogers. And that's that because of the water issues,
mm-hmm.
they're assuming that. We don't know why. But there were a lot of water issues this week with the water across the entire campground being shut off. Normally, they leave it on for the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, they just couldn't because
they ran out.
They ran out. And mm-hmm. when they run out of water, they just can't do anything about it. But someone got very, very frustrated. So on the day that the water was turned back on, that would have been Friday, they took one of their cups and they put it upside down in the sink to form a seal, and they turned the water on.
Oh, my God.
And they checked out and left.
In the hotel room?
Yes, and they flooded that entire hotel room.
Oh, my God.
This person at a libertarian campground, at a libertarian festival,
whoa.
Caused significant damage, to say nothing of the water that was being wasted,
God.
And it was clearly in a shortage. And, like, I saw the pictures.
Well, we would at least be able to identify that person. Right.
Unless he used a fake name or something
to check in.
I don't know.
I mean, you've got to pay.
She did say that she knows the name of the person who.
She sure does, I bet. Because
she knows the name.
Credit card or whatever.
She knows the name that they room was listed on.
Uh-huh.
Right. So hopefully they can track that down. But
wow.
That sort of thing. I'm sorry. And I don't know what to make of it.
Awful.
But that crap did not happen last year. It
mm-hmm.
did not happen the year mm-hmm. before. That's completely unheard of at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. And that was an adult. There were no kids in this room, and she knows that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
An adult did this. A purported libertarian did this.
Yeah, it's a shame.
And it's absolutely disgusting. And there's too many examples of stuff like this happening at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Just in general, a lot of people were unnecessarily rude and willfully disobedient, willfully antagonistic toward one another.
Really?
Yes. One of the examples I can think of best is people literally just parking wherever. Like, random people would just pull up to someone's site that they were visiting for the day, and they
mm-hmm.
would just park there. And they would just leave their car. They wouldn't ask anyone.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't check with anyone. This happened at our site on one day, and this happened with the Wormtown site that I saw. It never happened with the RV47, which was Think Penguin site,
mm-hmm.
because there was just too much there. But I know for a fact it happened with these because I was close with the people and talking to them daily. And happened, I think, once with Kirby's Q. It was just random people coming to visit for the day. They didn't want to park down there at the bottom of the hill, or they didn't want to be bothered to find a parking spot, so they just parked wherever. And these places are sealed off with cones. You're not supposed to be able to drive down them at all. But these people were doing it because screw the rules, right? No one cares. Mm-hmm. Driving the wrong way down these roads as well was extremely common. And I get it. We're libertarians. We don't need rulers and all of that stuff. But that doesn't mean, again, no rules. And part of the libertarian mm-hmm. society, for all of this to work, we all have to agree on a few basic rules. And if you go to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, you are agreeing to a few basic rules, like respecting people's campsites. Not parking, you're not being a random visitor parking your spot in someone's you don't know without asking permission.
Well,
not driving the wrong way.
This isn't the Porcupine Freedom Festival. This is the campground. I mean, the campground does not allow you to park on somebody else's campsite.
Also
that
true.
That is a basic rule of the campground.
Well, that's a basic rule in general.
Right.
But you would expect libertarians of all
better.
People
yeah.
to not behave this way. But it was common. It was far too common. And the only thing I can think of that was really different this year was the influx of people who were not
types.
Libertarians.
Yeah.
I don't want to blame Dennis Pratt or anyone
That's
like
the
that.
Organizer of the event.
And I don't want to blame Vivek or RFK because I don't think it's that simple. But when you have someone on Twitter literally threatening violence at an event and no one and almost no, and the people who stand up explicitly to condemn that are
you're talking about Maj Tour.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Are ridiculed. I can't even pretend to be overly surprised when there actually is violence at said event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you make a good point. And I just trying to play devil's advocate here. Somebody might say, well, it's good that we brought in newbies to this event. We've got to bring people to the ideas of liberty. But I don't think Porkfest is supposed to be a let's change people's minds to liberty event where we bring in a bunch of newbies. The Porcupine Freedom Festival is supposed to be a celebration of liberty by those who understand the ideas of liberty. Does that mean you have to be 100% libertarian to attend? No, but you should at the very least understand what a libertarian is. You should understand the basic tenets of it and be willing to respect the property rights of the individuals that are at this event. Like, you can be a conservative and a progressive as long as you can understand and agree with the rules. But just bringing in randos who just think that some politician is interesting and they just want to come hang out and thinking we're going to convert them? That is not going to likely happen. And like you're saying, Aria, what it's doing is it's watering down the quality level of the attendee of the event. There's 350 other days a year where libertarians can meet with these other statists and try to convert them. There's 300, right. There's 51 other weeks out of the year where we can do this in various different venues, in various different circumstances, in real life and online. Porkfest should be for the libertarians. Porkfest should be for the voluntarists, for the liberty-loving anarchists, primarily. And the other people, if they want to come in, they should already know about the event. They should want to come in for their own reasons and read the rules and agree to them. I don't think this should be a recruiting event at all. And I think it was a huge mistake to bring these politicians in. I want to bring this caller on here. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name? Hello?
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air. What's your name?
My name's Cameron.
Cameron, what's your on your mind tonight?
Well, I've been listening to you guys as much as I can for many years now, but I'm kind of hearing the subject about issues, security, possible security issues at the Porkfest. So I just wanted to make sure you guys have thought through not just the possibility, I would say 100% the use of agent provocateurs.
That's absolutely a possibility, but yeah, we didn't touch on it. Hang on, Cameron. We're going to continue here. We'll bring you back if you want to stick with us in hour number three. Yeah, what are the chances that instead of drunk teenagers vandalizing sites, it was actually an agent provocateur? Maybe somebody from the federal government, or maybe somebody on the left or on the right that wants to ruin a good event and start to stoke the seeds of discontent and distrust, which, of course, is what feds tend to do when they infiltrate activist communities. More coming up.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.